This is Rachel Ann Goodman, and I'm sitting on the grounds of Common Roots Farm, which is a beautiful piece of property on the west side of Santa Cruz. It's got a wonderful history trying to serve many different communities and has a similar goal to K-Squid, and that it is building community. And I'm talking with Ryan Mango Althaus, who's very involved here and came here through some wonderful serendipity. So maybe we could start out, Ryan, by having you just tell me a little bit about yourself and how you came to be in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, definitely. So I moved here. I'm originally from Annapolis, Maryland. So I was a right coaster growing up, a sailor by nature. We didn't have much surf. And ended up kind of doing a 10-year stay with a couple rounds of grad school in Louisville, Kentucky. And then gradually made it across here, taking a job as the interim development director for the Homeless Garden Project in town. So really got plugged in with the kind of the social scene, the nonprofit scene, looking at, looking at the social divisions in our community right off the get-go. And that was a great introduction. And ever since, just been plugging in. I do all the social inclusion work for the National Presbyterian Church for the region.
So you have a background in religious studies. Can you tell me how you came to that? Was that part of your upbringing? And how do you see your role vis-a-vis religion and social services kind of work you're doing?
Definitely. No, don't really have a church background at all, actually. That was the fun part. My father got me kind of keyed into everything. When I was 7 years old, he was diagnosed with cancer, a terminal cancer. They gave him 6 months to live, and he was always more of a mystic, which is basically, a mystic is just somebody that learns from experience, that just ditches words and kind of just grasps the experience of life. So every 6 months is a celebration for making it and kind of keep going. He would take me to a different spiritual site. So we did the Mayan ruins and the Incas. So we'd go all over the country, really North America as a whole, and just do all these. And he ended up living for 5 years. So in that time, I just got this amazing, amazing exposure to world religions. With no bias in there. Both my parents were just completely open to it all, which was great. And also in that, I was kind of a little bit of a, I could have my hard to deal with times, and they didn't know how to kind of work with me through the transition of my dad's kind of passing, so they bought me a sailboat. So in that same time, I found that, sailing was my opportunity to go out and explore and quote unquote commune with, the divine, whatever you want to call it. So after my dad passed, I kind of went on my own little search, various stages in life. Ended up getting really into professional running. I ran the marathon for a while for Nike. Did some different things with that, and then actually got hit by a car, funny enough. So that kind of made me sit with things a little bit. And
probably not so funny, did it? Really do a lot of damage? You seem fine now.
Yeah, I broke my neck in two places, so that kind of ended the career with that. But what it made me do is, looking at my introduction to spirituality as a youth and how it came through experience and sailing and nature and then looking at endurance athletics and how that just spiritual aspect of my life came through what we call self-expenditure. It's a spiritual discipline. So almost like a dopamine rush. So it's adrenaline or excitement. It never came through church. Of all the things, it certainly didn't come through church. For me, it does for some people. We all have our, I call it flavors of ice cream. I always say religion is like an ice cream shop, and we have to pick our own flavor because we have different tastes. And those tastes evolve over time. Some like vanilla as a kid, and then evolved to chocolate, but we can all eat ice cream together, and it's what makes life sweet. So right now, Christianity is my flavor of ice cream, but I just took a position at the Unitarian Church in town, revitalizing their youth education program and just helping introduce the kids to all the different spiritual traditions. So I got plugged into religion via that, and then my personal program, Sweaty Sheep, is just based off that. It's using recreation as a means of introducing people to these what we would say mystical experiences. So church for a sweaty sheep would be going out in our sailboat and just communing with nature and each other. And in doing so, we always say since God, whatever God is ineffable, unknowable, you can only know God through knowing the whole diversity of creation. So you can only know Creator through interacting with the whole diversity of creation. And that's where our program started off. And Costa Noah's, what's now going to be Common Roots Farm, is exactly that. It's a special needs-based community farm where individuals of all walks, whether it's seniors, quote-unquote normal people, if there are able-bodied, disabled, everybody can come together under a common root of farming, and in doing so, just disregard those labels, whether they're economic or faith or social, etc., and grow together and play together.
I want you to talk about isolation and how that works in our community. It seems like a lot of young people I teach are connected on their phones, but they're not really feeling very connected socially and like they have a purpose. They feel very kind of alone, like we're taught as Americans that you just go it alone, and that's the ultimate goal of being an American, is sort of bootstrapping yourself through life. And yet I see a lot of really lonely people of all ages, not just elderly people or disabled people, but young people who technically should be in the prime of life feeling very depressed. I have some experience with that in my own family, and I just wonder what your thought is, as you've been named the Minister of Loneliness, which I think they should retitle the Minister of Connectedness, just to be putting more of a positive spin on it. Tell me more about that, how you see that problem and how you see our way out of that.
I love it. And I'm really actually glad that you said putting a positive spin on it. I think that's an important area to look at. In the past, a lot of times we've seen alone time as a positive. In the spiritual traditions, alone time is a beautiful thing. And the difference is looking at what we would say solitude versus loneliness. Solitude is this state of getting away from distractions and growing in relationship with yourself. In the faith community, we would say growing in relationship with God. But what it comes around to is just developing self-acceptance outside of society. And what we're finding more and more in the kind of the younger populations is because our society is so fast-paced, so many distractions, you don't have that time of solitude, which is a discipline. It's not always a pleasant time. It's not always easy. It can be very, and once you find your place of solitude, you're able to interact with individuals all around. So the difference would be, when you're in a good state of self-acceptance and solitude, you can be around a large or small group of people or around nobody and not feel lonely. However, what we're seeing now is because everybody's so stimulated all the time and they haven't kind of come to terms with being in relationship with themselves, whether you're around 50 people or 2 people or alone, you still feel alone. So isolation isn't necessarily being alone. Isolation is feeling alone no matter who you're around. And that's really easy to do because of superficial type relationships with texting and with computers and so forth.
Yeah, that rings quite true for the students I teach who are 18, 19, 20, and they've been growing up really involved in superficial communication. And I think they want to be more connected, but they almost don't know how. So how does something like Common Roots bring people back to a sense of feeling less alone?
Yeah, definitely. So what we're realizing is there has to be a median there. You put 2 people in a room and tell them to talk to each other, and it just, we're so untrained with that, that just as like that non-solitude-oriented person can sit in a room of 50 and feel alone, it can actually isolate you more because we're nervous, we're socially awkward all of a sudden. So something like farming, and that's, we're also doing some work with art. We're doing these shared art projects. Heidi's son, Heidi's the executive director here at Common Roots. Her son and I co-illustrated a children's book I wrote, so we're going to local, like, elementary schools and libraries and whatnot and doing shared readings and art projects. And that's just that. It's like, what we're finding is if you're gardening together, if you're digging in the soil, you got your hands down in the ground, or if you're doing an art project with somebody, Sweaty Sheep, we have a sailboat. It's our Salty Sheep sailboat. And what we say is if you can create an experience where everybody's safe and nobody's comfortable, then everybody's able to grow together.
Well, I certainly experienced that out on your boat, the discomfort, but that's another story. I loved how you included everyone, regardless of their background, and when they had to jump across the boat when it was at sort of like a 75-degree angle, they just did it. You know, there was not a lot of discussion or feeling lonely. You just jumped to the other side of the boat to save your life, basically.
I love it. Yeah, we always say it's about balancing your two types of fun. So you got type one fun and type two fun. Type one fun's fun in the moment. It's a sunny day out on the sailboat and you're bombing along and it's like, oh, this is fun. This is pleasant. Type two fun's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. The boat's about to flip. We're going to get hit with a tsunami. Holy cow. And then you get back to the harbor and after the seasickness wears off, Rachel, you look back a couple days later and you go, oh, that was fun. Let's do it again. Because you forget the not so comfortable parts.
I'm still remembering, but you know what? I still remember. It's okay. I remember the whales, and we saw these amazing humpbacks that were, it seemed 20 feet off the boat, doing giant leaps in the air and smacking down, and it was a huge swell day, so we were doing lots of maneuvering to try to keep up with them. I'll never forget that image, and the gleefulness with which this whale, long after we had passed through its orbit, kept jumping into the air and flapping itself onto the surface. It was really as if it were celebrating life with us. And if you just joined this interview, I'm talking with Mayan, that's a new name.
Mayan, I like it.
Ryan Mango Althaus, who is many things, the Minister of Loneliness for the County of Santa Cruz, which is really helping people get in touch with their connectedness to all. And he's also involved here at Common Roots, which is a farm that's only 3 years old but has lots of community involvement. I'm watching. Maybe just describe this scene for us that we're seeing since it's radio. Maybe you could show the joy that's happening right in front of us as we are sitting on a log near the creek.
Yeah, it's a blast. Well, we're sitting right next to the chicken pens, which are probably one of my favorites. It's if ever I get down, I just go sit inside the chicken coop for a little while. I never grew up on a farm, and honestly, I still don't really know how to farm, though I am a vegetable connoisseur. And that's just it. We're watching right now. We've got one of the past Homeless Garden Project trainees doing the farm management, overseeing a group of probably 20 volunteers, planting strawberries, which are popping up already. It's amazing. Yeah, it's just a gorgeous day here in Santa Cruz. So everybody's we've got a beautiful flower crop that we get going. We're going to be doing kind of make your own bouquets out here this year. So everything's just starting to kind of fill with life after a little bit of a rainy season.
You also have children's groups coming out here. Is there some sort of a regular program where kids come? Because I remember when we were here back last fall, there were a lot of kids.
It is, and that's going to be ramping up this year. So actually right over by the strawberry crop, you can't see it on because it's on a radio, but our girl Alana is out there. She heads up a program called Happy Heart Studio, and she's kind of our art guru with Sweaty Sheep. And we're also looking at what's going to be the first indoor-outdoor art studio. So we're making it's going to have a roof of all growing gourds. And we'll be doing art programs out here this summer with Alana's Happy Heart Studio and looking at that as a way to start getting youth interacting with the various special needs participants from the farm community, from Shared Adventures, from some of the local nonprofits. I think it's important to realize that, like, what we're looking at is just a conglomeration, a collaboration of a variety of nonprofits. And a variety of communities. It's not just one.
love it if K-Squid could come out here and maybe teach people how to tell stories on the radio and talk about their lives and just be part of sharing this outside of this one little beautiful little niche part of Santa Cruz. But then other people in the rest of our listening area could sort of hear what's going on here and maybe get involved too.
Yeah, definitely. And starting to share those invitations. It's, I guess moving here was, it was painfully eye-opening to see how many people aren't able to experience the joys of Santa Cruz. Diving in with the homeless population when I first moved here, just to see how many of these individuals had never been out in a boat, never gone to see a whale, never gone to... So one of the things that that our program kind of focuses on is Sweaty Sheep. We always say we have the goal of adding an essence of quality to the lives others serve. So we come directly under programs such as Costa Nova Commons or Common Roots Farm, which is going to be called here in a couple days, or like the Downtown Streets team and the Homeless Garden Project. We just took all their individuals to Lake Tahoe for a retreat. So we provide playful activities for individuals working through programming of other populations that serve more qualitative, superficial needs, which are equally important, the feeding and the, but it requires that balance. So
what you're doing is you're giving people experiences that make them feel more part of the community again. So often people get very isolated within their own group. You know, you can see that at the Gateway Campment, that people are glomming together for support, but it can also be an isolating thing as well to be seen as other, you know, in the community, labeled somehow.
Yeah, you know, the labels are pretty pretty intense. I alluded to the children's book that we did earlier, and that's one of the big themes. It's actually got a chapter for adults geared towards how to work with youth populations on overcoming labels and stigmas that kind of transcend our community. And I'm actually writing a novel right now, which I've just been kind of enthralled in. I'm a real nerd. But it's around that same thing, just looking at a juxtaposed kind of labeled society and how each one is just incredibly debilitating. But in the same time, each one offers these invaluable gifts to one another. So yeah, it's kind of a fun process. We got a long ways to go, though, but I think, like I said, recreation, farming, art, those are our opportunities to kind of address it.
And part of it is language, too, right? I mean, we think we know what we mean when we say that person is a homeless person, or that person is mentally ill, or that person is disabled, but we don't. I mean, those are not very useful labels, and they often come with some sort of negative connotation or less than-ing. So what other language is there that we can use to talk about anything and still mean something?
Your trick there is to recognize we live in a society that's very tense right now. To try to be politically correct or to... It's actually, like, awkward to try to be... And I've danced with it a number of times, and I know I offend people, and... but that's the thing, it's like we have to start to realize that that's okay. And I think in doing so you guys can't see it on the radio, but a year ago I moved into my car and grew out dreadlocks. So I'm a minister in town and working with the county, and also a homeless dreadlocked goofball with tattoos and piercings. I have been amazed at the social biases that I've experienced in the past year, looking the way I do, and all of a sudden how that changes as soon as people find out about, like, the letters before or after my name, or certain different things like that. What we have to realize is that we're all born with judgments. We judge naturally. We're born with preferences. I remember in college, I preferred sitting with people that were kind of like me. I didn't do very well sitting with the Oriental students I didn't even speak the same language. And that was all right. So preference is natural. If we suppress our preferences, they become prejudices, where a prejudice is all of a sudden like, I have a preference and I'm not open to learning or growing or sharing with the other. if we suppress our prejudices, they become racism, where it's I actually hate the other because I've developed a fear around them. So as long as we can acknowledge our preferences and laugh about our differences, and when we mislabel a population, kind of giggle with it, we're doing pretty well. But as soon as we start repressing those and not understanding them and fearing them, then they become debilitating. And Santa Cruz is, when I came out here, I was expecting a very open-minded, peaceful, happy place. And there is a lot of fear and anger in Santa Cruz right now. And
it's like a pressure cooker that got turned up when the income inequality was raised, I think, that it was there before, but as soon as people started to be a lot of have-nots and a lot of haves and very few in the middle, you saw some of the ugly underbelly kind of come back out again. And there's something about being labeled as an open, tolerant place that makes it even sadder that those things exist, because there is that side of our town. There's open, loving parts, but it doesn't mean that we're perfect or that we don't have these things that other communities have. And to believe that you're free of all of it makes it harder to, I think, face, perhaps.
It is. And the differentiation between, like, economic level here as opposed to other, it's not somebody's privilege and somebody's a little bit under. It's somebody's absolutely homeless and somebody's got 18 Teslas in their driveway. So there's such a wide gap there. In a place like Santa Cruz, when you've got the San Jose economic flux coming, and you've got, so it makes it very, very challenging in that regard, to build that bridge.
But it could be done.
It could be done. And we have to remember that it's an ongoing process, and that we on both sides have a lot to learn. You know, it's interesting. I love working with the homeless community. It frustrates the heck out of me sometimes. There's a lot of aspects of that I don't like, but the gift that those individuals give to me is just immense. Just learning gratitude and learning, and they don't always know they're giving it to me. When we took those individuals to Lake Tahoe for a week, and I just got to sit with them and dialogue with them. And, I came back exhausted because they can be a handful. We had some interesting, but at the same time, the opportunities to grow and learn alongside of all these different populations are so, so invaluable. It's a shame if we can't tap into them.
Well, I want to thank you for sitting with me and talking about your point of view from the viewpoint of Ryan Mango Aldhouse, which is multifaceted. And I'm really happy you're in our community and hope we hear from you again soon on this radio station.
Yeah, so that's, I told Rachel earlier, I've got all sorts of fun little ideas. So gonna be plugging away with you guys, hopefully. I love to talk.
You're perfect for radio. Well, thank you for taking the time. This has been Rachel Ann Goodman talking with Ryan Mango Aldhouse on KSQD on Talk of the Bay.